Can you hear me nice and loud and clear? All right. This class is on prayer, answered prayer, not just prayer, answered prayer, your principles and your privileges of answered prayer. And so we will start our class with prayer and ask God's mercies in teaching us by His Spirit, by you, from what you may say, from some words I may say, from our experiences that we'll share today, or from whatever. So, Brother Ben, you lead us in prayer and ask God's blessing on the class, please.
Father, we thank you this morning that we can gather here together. We thank you, Lord, for your presence now, because you tell us where two or more are gathered together in one place. You are there in the midst, and we give you the praise for it. Now, Father, we ask that you would prepare each of our hearts and in our spirit man that we might receive this morning the word that you want us to receive and anoint pastor as he breaks the word for us. And, Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Anybody had an answer to prayer within the last month? Specifically. Yes, Ben?
I had my son called up. He had gotten, evidently at work, he had gotten blamed for something he hadn't done. It was quite serious. He was very quiet and disturbed. So he called me up, so we began to pray about it. And we prayed all during the evening. The next morning he went to work, and the custom there where he works is if you're in trouble, they don't let you punch in the next morning. And he knew it. So he went to work, and I was kind of discerned, but when he got to work, we were praying all night that the truth would come out and everything would work out. They called him in the office the next morning when he got there, and they apologized to him for accusing him of doing the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that it was all a post that the others put on.
Boy, tough place to work.
Well, they're trying to get the union in, let's put it this way.
Okay. Well, it's pretty important where you work, and God wants to answer your prayers at work. You're going to spend a great deal of your life on your job. Let's not think that our job is some unholy, unsacred place where God goes to sleep, that God's active in church, but not on your job. My word, you're going to put a lot of your time at work, and you, a working mother is a woman who is home taking care of her children, right? They all work. You working mother, they all work. They got kids, they're all working. They're working for pay or without pay, and so it can go either way. So we're talking today about prayer. We're going to read some scripture, then David is going to come and share with us for a few minutes, which I've asked him to do. But let's take our scriptures again and review it here as we just turn to Mark 10:51. What would you that I do unto you? Mark 10:51. That's the verse we're looking at. And the Lord said to the blind man, and Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want that I should do for you? The blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He knew what he wanted. We're going to talk a little bit more about that again. And David, if you'll come now, I've asked him to share us on the prayer answers and prayer principles in his life. And he's going to take a few minutes to do this, and then we'll pick up on our lesson. We're glad to have David with us. He's been our assistant teacher here for a long time, and a joy to have him with us. Go right ahead, David. Get this out of your way.
Good morning. Thank you. There, that's better. Thank you. I want to just give you a scripture in Psalms 37 and 4. And as you're turning, I'll read it to you. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is a scripture that I had known and had heard a lot when I was newly saved, and it obviously appealed to me, as I think it naturally appeals to all of us, that if we delight in the Lord, he'll give us what our heart desires. And of course, I would read this and recognize that I would be delighted if God gave me my heart's desires, because I thought that having what I wanted would be the fulfillment of my purpose and would essentially make me happy. Little did I know God was going to give me a little different meaning of this particular verse as I began to learn to know who he was. Earlier in my Christian walk, I guess I was much like any other new believer. And I think as new children in the Lord, we're very much like children and infants. We have a 10-month-old son, and anything you give him, the first thing he does with it is takes it to his mouth. He investigates his world by his mouth. He believes everything is for him. He's very egocentric, and so his whole world is built around, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to give me? How does this taste? How does this feel? How does this satisfy or meet my needs? And as a new believer, I think I was very much the same way. And my approach to God was, what have you done for me lately? What are you going to do for me next? How can I have you satisfy my needs and order my life in the way I think would make me happy and answer the prayers I thought were the ones that needed to be answered? As I began to get further in my walk with the Lord, I began to understand that what I wanted wasn't necessarily what God wanted for me. And I just want to kind of back up in my life and give you a brief testimony by way of illustration, and also to kind of expound on what the scripture means to me. I was saved, I guess now it's been getting close to 15 years ago. And one of the things that I had desired early in my walk with the Lord was a prayer life, but I didn't really have a disciplined prayer life. And my prayer life was very much that I would pray when I needed something. I would pray when I was in trouble. I'd pray maybe if someone asked me to pray about something, or otherwise I would use God, as we say, like a spare tire. When what I was doing didn't work, I went to God and said, help me, Lord, I can't handle this. But I really desired a prayer life with God where I communicated with him, walked with him, talked with him, and really had a relationship with him as someone I knew and could understand and communicate with. But for whatever reason, I hadn't reached that point of discipline and had never committed myself to prayer that much. But yet I still expected God to meet me in my prayer time the same way. Expected him to be as faithful to me in answering prayers. And when he didn't do that, often I was upset and sometimes disappointed, wondering, why is God not answering my prayer? And little did I know that I didn't have a relationship on which to even have a basis for trust, let alone a basis to understand what, in fact, God wanted for me, not just what I wanted for myself. Well, I was married, began having kids, working and getting promoted into jobs with different higher degrees of challenge and problem and expectation. And through those events, began to get more and more to the point where I really needed God more, and where I saw that in having a wife and trying to understand what it means to be a husband, I didn't know the answers. It was very challenging for me. I had to learn some things that I didn't understand, and I had to come to God for direction in that respect. Ran into some situations at work, a couple of ugly situations, was fired from a job and ran into some other situations on another job. And in those situations, began to realize I really need a relationship with God such that I can have him direct me, because I'm in situations where I don't know what it is I ought to do. And through the course of these events, I remember there was a particular brother at our church who happened to be an Olympic wrestler. And I remember watching him when he came into the church and seeing him. He got saved after I did, and kind of went through a lot of the typical struggles. But I remember at one point in his life, he got a hold to this issue of prayer. And I remember watching his life change before my eyes. And I watched this guy who at first was inconsistent coming to church. At first he only came because his wife drug him to church. And then when he finally made a commitment to the Lord, he was very inconsistent. He spent most of his time with his coaching or his traveling with wrestling, struggled with giving, and really had a hard time. But I remember when he got a hold of this prayer thing, I just watched this guy completely change, and he just became so on fire. And he was, every time I'd see him, he'd be sharing something with me about what God was dealing with him about in the Word or in prayer, and just talking about the different parts of his life where he had had victory. And you know, by this time I'd been saved for a while. I was even teaching Sunday school and doing some other things, and I started to feel like, you know, wait a second, this guy can't be catching up and getting ready to pass me here. I've got to find out what it is he's talking about. And it turned out that was about the same time that Larry Lee had written his book, Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour? Has anyone else ever read that book? And that was life-changing for me and actually for my family. And I made a commitment as I read that book to begin to give the Lord an hour of prayer a day. And that was something I thought was, before that, it was impossible. I'd never been able to pray an hour at any one time, and probably not even a sum total of an hour in a given week or maybe even a month. But I read that, and I was so compelled by the opportunity to see God change me. And I remember a particular woman in our church talking about how we say prayer changes things, but the thing prayer really changes is us. And I thought, I really need God through prayer to change me so that I begin to know who God wants me to be and begin to see the world from God's perspective. So then we embarked on a prayer journey, and for years, my wife and my family and a number of people from our church committed to praying an hour a day. And this is when this scripture began to become real to me, because what I began to see then was when it talks about delighting yourself in the Lord and Him giving you the desires of your heart, what I begin to understand is that the prayers God answers are the prayers that are consistent with His will and that are consistent with His Word. And when we pray according to His will, then we have the confidence that He hears us. And when we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition, we have desired of Him. And I begin then to not so much come to God with my petition, but come to God open for His direction and to understand what it was He would have me pray about, and then to begin to cooperate with the Lord in praying for the things that were on His heart. And then this scripture began to open up. Wow, if I delight in the Lord, then the desires of my heart will be the desires of His heart, and He will give me the things I desire because they're the same things He desires. And so my prayer became less, God, I want this new car, and I want this good job, and I want this new house, and you know, I want You to kill my enemies, and I want all these other things to happen. My prayers became more, God, what is it that You would have? And then through the course of those events, I got to the point where I became an intercessor and begin to pray and carry burdens for other people. And that, to me, is when prayer really gets exciting. Is, you know, once again, with the child, at some point they've got to get beyond the stage where everything is for them and everything is for the mouth, and where at some point they begin to grow and mature to the point that they start to help other people and they start to reach out and they become productive for other people. And that's the point I begin to reach where my prayers were just a small amount of time in terms of personal prayer, but more time on intercession and supplication, praying for other people and carrying their issues and their burdens to God and watching the Lord answer those prayers. And I began keeping a journal and a diary, and I was trying to think of what are some of the key answers to prayer that I could think of, and they're just too numerous to mention, both personally and for people that we've prayed for, people that we've seen get healed, marriages put back together, some things recently with our school where I've seen God move miraculously in financial ways. And I've also learned a lot from God through prayers He hasn't answered. There was a particular situation where I was praying and laboring very hard in prayer for God to heal a particular person, and the person ended up dying. And that was one of the hardest things for me, because I had thought that, you know, if I prayed with all my heart, I was fasting. I fasted at one point, I think, 6 days in a row, and really, really, I was trying to have all of the faith and just do everything right. And I thought, you know, if I hit the formula and do A through Z, God is going to do this. And when the person wasn't healed, it was a difficult lesson for me, because at first I just began to wonder, either there's something wrong with me or there's something wrong with God. You know, either I didn't have enough faith, I didn't pray hard enough, you know, maybe I let a bad thought come into my mind, or maybe I should have tacked a 7-day on my fast, or, you know, somewhere along the way maybe I missed it, or maybe God just, you know, for some reason didn't want to honor my prayer, and God in that situation didn't do the right thing. But God helped me to understand and appreciate so much that His ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And as through prayer, our relationship with God reaches a higher level of maturity, then we're able to begin to see that there is a bigger picture, and that it isn't just about what we want, and that as we truly commit things to the Lord, we've got to then also submit to His will and to the way that He plans to work things out and to orchestrate things. So to bring this in for landing, just some of the things God is doing with my prayer life recently. I don't still pray an hour every day the way I used to. That was really critical for me from the standpoint of discipline. It was critical for me from the standpoint of really learning how to pray and how to understand what prayer was all about. Now, there are times when I still do that. There are times when I pray either when I'm driving or going to work. When I was doing the hour prayer a day, one of the things that I thought was that basically this is the way to pray. You know, this is the only way. It's got to be this time. It's got to be this length of time. It's got to be this formula. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And now I've really begun to understand that, you know, prayer really, as you develop in your relationship with God, becomes more of a relationship, more communication, more the analogy that I've heard lately and that really, really registers with where I am is just the analogy of breathing, inspiration and expiration, breathing in and breathing out, so that your prayer is always something that you're offering to God, and it's so natural. It's just like breathing. And I remember reading a scripture in Psalms where David said, 7 times a day will I praise you for your righteous acts. And I begin to try to make sure I praise God at least 7 times a day. And what I realize is that it's not that there's anything magical about the number 7, but if you're trying to be conscious of making sure you're praising God at least that amount of time, then you'll realize that you're really praising God all the time. And if I'm walking from one building to the next, I want to be praising the Lord. Or if I'm in between meetings, or if I'm riding on an airplane, then I want to allow my heart to be in a position where I can be open to God and where I can worship God and where I can just offer up a prayer or even a praise to God. And sometimes during those times, he'll lay things on my heart. Sometimes he'll bring people before me. For example, I just came back from Chicago. Was I in Chicago? I've been traveling so much lately, I keep losing track of where I was. I was in D.C. I flew through Chicago. That's what it was. But during the course of that trip, I had the opportunity to share Christ with a couple of different people. And it was just a matter of getting up in the morning and saying, God, direct me. I want to be open to your will. What do you have me to do? And God opening the doors and being in a position that when the opportunities were there, I was able to just allow God to use me naturally, not something that was hard, not something I had to work up, not something that was contrived, but something that was just so natural. And so that's really the way that God is beginning to work with my prayer life. And it has helped me so that with whatever situation I'm facing, my overwhelming and compelling desire is to say, God, what do you want to do in this situation? What would you have me to do? What is your will and what is your purpose for me in this situation? And as I leave that to the Lord and as I walk in fellowship and communion with him, then God begins to direct me in the way that he would have me go and have me do the things that would please him. And through the course of that, I've also learned that when we talk about the element of faith, one of the things you need to appreciate about faith is that you have a lot more faith in someone you know. If you know someone, you know how they are, you know what they'll do, you know the way they behave, you know their character, it's a whole lot easier than to have trust in them. And as I begin to understand who the Lord is better, it's a lot easier to trust him and to really leave things with him, because I know that he's working all things for my good, and I know that his love for me is so overwhelming, and I know that just as I love my children, he's a holy and righteous father and loves me more than I could ever love them. And so that opportunity to trust him and to know him more has also helped me to walk in faith. And then as I present things to God, leave it with him and trust that he will answer in the way that he desires to answer. Praise the Lord.
Here from David, don't go away and ask you a question. David is in the middle of a and I'm trying to pry here, in the middle of a job change, maybe, is that okay?
Something like that.
Things are up for grabs when they go into mergers. You know what that's like. And so, I don't know, is there anything we can pray for you during this job merger situation? I hope I'm not breaking confidence.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. My main prayer has just been God's will. And you probably have heard or read in the newspaper that University Hospital is merging with Clarkson, has merged. And as a result of that merger, a lot of changes are happening in administrative areas. I'm at the top administrative level with the University Medical Center, and so my role is changing, diminishing, and going through a lot of different changes. And so at this point, my desire is just, what is God's will? And through the course of this situation, and there have been a lot of opportunities coming up with other health systems out of the area. A lot of recruiters know me, and I've gotten a lot of phone calls about other jobs, and a lot of things look pretty good in terms of opportunity for what appears to be a more stable job, a lot more income, and a situation that just feels a lot more comfortable than the one I'm in now. But I don't want to just rush into anything, and I have a couple of opportunities I'm looking at right now, but the main prayer and the main request I would have is that I would do what God has me to do, and whether that is to stay here and to fight this out and to see where it would go, I'm open to that. Whether there is a direction that would take me out of this area, I'm open to that. But whatever it is, my main desire is that I would do what God would have me do.
Yeah, David, we appreciate him and Leona so much. They just bought a house, and they perhaps wouldn't have done that if they had known that we're going to have this big job change. He's mentioning some good principles here. It's easy to know the will of God when there's just one open door and the gun's on your head. Well, the door looks awful good, whew, right through. What happens when you get two good doors, three good doors? Well, that's great. God's promoting you to find his mind and his will as for which door. There's nothing wrong with all three of them. This has got advantages, pros, and cons. This has got advantages, pros, and cons. This has got advantages, pros, and cons. So then you get down on your knees, and we're going to have prayer for David here in just a minute. You get to what we call zero. You're at zero. Yeah, I know David's at zero. What do you think I mean when I say you get to zero? You're smiling. Tell me. Yeah. Now, it may take two or three crucifixions to get to zero. No lie. Now, that's you're not on prayer ground till you're at zero. Now, you're praying to get to prayer ground. I should say not on prayer ground. You're not guidable till you're at zero. And now, it's not wrong to have human preferences. I prefer to have David stay right here. I cherish him as a brother. I cherish him for the ministry of this church. But the church is the Lord's, and the other church he may go to would be the Lord. So those are my preferences. I think he might even prefer to stay in the area. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons to stay here. But now he's got to get through these human preferences, even spiritual desires, to the bottom of which I know is in both his heart and Leona's, that, Lord, I love it here. Our kids love it here. We just got a new home here. We like the area. We just know the church, and da-da-da-da. But your will be done. That's the bottom line. And now, I know you're going to be honest, and you know if you're not at zero. I know when I'm not at zero. A couple of churches I did not want to leave, and I did not want to go to the next one that God wanted me at. I did not want to. I did not want to. Did you hear me? I did not want to. And it about killed me to get to zero. In fact, it did kill me to get to zero. When I got there, I could then be guided. I cried to get to zero. I was crying all the way, digging, no. Does this look spiritual? Does this position look spiritual? One, two. I'll tell you one thing. Once I got there, something broke in me that never had to be broken again. I wouldn't trade that change. It was one of the three high points of my whole Christian experience. Break points. Not break as in hurt you, break as in bless you. But there's no blessing to you that side of it. Kill me. But God wanted to do that. He wanted to say, I don't care about your preferences. I love you enough to say, come on over here. So with some of the struggles I've gone through, and I'm glad God put that in my life. In my third Christian position of service, I started off with Youth of Christ, First Church, Liberal Church, no Christians. And in the Christian Missionary Alliance. And then when God moved to Toledo, might as well have been Timbuktu, as far as I'm concerned. But God did something in me then that never has had to be repeated. And thank God it doesn't need to be repeated. Now, David, how best can we pray for you?
I just want God to...
Leona, come up here. You're in part of the same field. We're going to pray for both of you. Come on up. Great people. This important time in their life is not a small thing, and that's why we want to take the time here and do what we're talking about in this class. Pray ye one for another, and thus fulfill the law of Christ and bear ye one of those burdens, right? How can we best pray for you?
Well, what I'm praying is that, you know, sometimes when you're wondering what God wants, you move presumptuously, and you move in a way you think God may want you to go, or you go in the open door or whatever. And what I'm praying is that I wouldn't move presumptuously. I wouldn't assume that this is what God will do, but that his direction will be so clear. And no matter what my desire is, that as he makes his direction clear, then my wife and I would move in the direction God has. And so I'm really just praying that our eyes will be open, that we'll know clearly God's will, and that we will have the strength and the grace to obey it.
Leona Kimura, you got anything you want to add? We'd like to hear from the distaff side.
No, just that
Mama has some
strengthen my knowing that my security is in God and not in my husband's job position or anything else, just in him.
Okay, we're all at zero there where we want to be. Our wills are at zero. Sometimes our minds and our bodies have to catch up a bit later. But your will is your control tower. You understand that. If Christ has you will, he has you. If he doesn't have you will, he doesn't have anything of you. Mm-hmm. If there first be a willing heart, this is acceptable to God. I know you have that willingness, don't you? Mm-hmm. And your brother David, too. Okay. I know our brother Paul Landry back there from Christ for the Cities and his wife Carol. They've gone right over here. They've gone through a lot of decision making in 25 or 30 years of missionary service. And so, Brother Paul, would you stand and pray for this dear couple? And this is not a spectator sport. You join with him in your heart. God, we want answered prayer that the peace of God will reign in their heart and the choice they have to make, big time.
Father, how precious to hear from a brother and his wife that deep desire that you have cultivated over months and years. That really is, as an audience this morning, we sense they're really at that point of zero, as pastors mentioned. Just being silent before you, being open and attentive to you, and like looking up into Father's face and just saying, Dad, point us. We don't know exactly which way to go, but we want you to point us. Thank you for David and for Naomi, and I just pray your rich blessings upon them and their family.
Thank you, Lord.
What a precious contribution they'd make wherever they went. Like pastor, we would covet them to be here, but we recognize that your kingdom is much larger than just Omaha, and so we commit them to your grace. And in your strength, would you calm the anxieties that do arise, the questions that do cloud, and that sometimes rob us of the joy of making a decision that really does bring joy to your heart. Help them in this decision. May there be that smile on your face as you just simply point them in the direction you want them to go. Thank you in the strong name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you so much. We love you, and we want to be informed about what's going on. And I want to take I want to tag off right here on something. We're talking about praying in faith, and they're talking about praying in faith, and here they're trying to find the will of God. Okay, she's mixed my print. Now, and first of all, the first step in knowing the will of God is to come to zero. And we're talking about praying, and I have to pray to get to zero. Come to zero, which is your will, Lord. Okay. The second thing is, that's essential. And in the process, you're going to evaluate. And I should put this down later, but so let's make a star by this thing, and let me start here. All right, you've got to evaluate all opportunities. When you're going to try and find the will of God on something, you're open. You evaluate all opportunities. Knock on doors, send out your
resume.
Yeah, resume, thank you. Send out your resume. Evaluate all opportunities. Number two, if it may be helpful, to list pros and cons. I should put the yes right there and take that out. List the pros and cons. There's nothing wrong with that. Job A, good because, bad because. School, I'm going to apply for this school. Should I go to this college? Pros, cons, cost, tuition, distance, how far from home, etc. do that. Don't throw away your brains trying to find the will of God. The brains are the low court of appeal, and the spirit would be the high court of appeal, but you don't go right to the high court of appeal normally, unless you absolutely positively know. List the pros and cons. Evaluate all opportunities. List the pros and cons. If necessary, talk to no more than two trusted, wise friends or people. It wouldn't have to be friends. It might be someone you trust and don't know very well. Say, look, I need to bounce this off you. No more than two, because I don't want you getting confused. If God's got something to say, you can say it through one, no more than two people. Basically, preferably one that you know and trust and love, and he knows and trusts you. Now, when you've done that, then this is where you're headed toward. This is always it. This can be done, this can be done. You may have qualms and doubts and whatever. This is okay. Do this, do this, do this. Now, when you've got all your proper opportunities, some you'll eliminate just by, I just know it isn't. But maybe two or three stay good. Maybe get four stay good. I don't know. That'd be tough. But you might get two or three that really stay good, and you eliminate five or whatever. Or you're down between two, and you try to make one or two. Evaluate, list pros, cons. Talk to two friends. Okay, after that, this has to kick in, obviously. This kicks in. After that, you get alone with God. Get all this information out of your head and understand, this is fine, I've evaluated, I've pro-conned it. That would be a big help to many of you. Oh, I never thought of that. Pros and cons. Sit down with your wife. Sit down with your husband. Bring two minds into this thing. Absolutely. Affects her, affects him. And then get along with the Lord at zero. When you're zero, I mean, that terrible, not terrible, it was a wonderful thing, but that terribly difficult choice I made leaving Foxborough to go to Chicago, to Toledo. I mean, I was 2 weeks in the throes of dying and living and praying and everything else, and the pros and cons. The pros and cons, well, it looked like you wanted to have a larger opportunity, have more people to minister to, get under a senior pastor, on and on and on. I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking, I'm going to leave home and my ocean and my friends and my family, and I've got a wonderful ministry here, and they love me, and I've just been here 9, 10 months. Who in the world would leave a church in 10 months? You've got to be out of your tree to even think of such a thing. But these are things I had to work through. Stuff I know now, I didn't know then. So you get along with God. At least I did that. I did that, and I finally got to hear, and I told the Father, just like our brother prayed. I said, Father in heaven, I don't know what to do. I was over next to tears in my little study. The study was about that big. We had taken a coat room in that little church and made it my study. I mean, that study was so small, I had to go outside to change my mind. And every time some guy came in and opened the doorknob rearranged my library. I want to tell you, it was a small place. Okay. And I said, Father, if I lost in the woods, I was lost once in a Sunday school picnic. My father came and found me and got me out. And if I said, I'm lost in the woods. My father on earth would do it. Father, you got to leave me in this one. I don't know what to do. I'm crying. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. And all I want, your will. I don't know what to do. I was up against the wall where God wanted me. And I didn't get the answer right there on my knees. I went home crying. I've told somebody this before. I went home crying. My wife said, what's the matter? She knew I was struggling with the thing because we had a decision to make. What are you crying for, honey? And I said, I want to be saved from my friends, not my enemies. Because all my friends wanted me to stay. You can't leave us. You can't leave us. You can't leave us. You've only been here less than a year. And Joe got saved into you, and he won't grow because if you leave, you were a spiritual father. And on and on. And my mind was going, I said, finally, my father-in-law said, don't talk to the pastor anymore. Just pray for him. I mean, I was a zoo in spiritual consternation. I'll paint the church with the men a week or so later, bucket of white paint, north side of the church. You can still see it. Ladder going up. And I'm painting. And I all of a sudden just knew, I got to go. I came down the ladder. put the paintbrush on the bucket, walked in the house and said, Nancy, if we're not supposed to go to Toledo, I couldn't teach five-year-olders. End of case. Now, God gave that as a conclusion to what went on before. Now, the next big thing that goes right here, these are two biggies. Let the peace of God rule in, your heart. Whatever's of God, the longer you hold it before God, the more peace you'll have about it. Whatever's not of God, the longer you hold it before God, the less peace you'll have about it, when you're at zero. But you got to come to zero. And sometimes that's about three funerals to get there. But that's how you, you don't know how you're growing in the Lord when that's happening. And then when you get to zero, you've checked all the information. Sometimes going through the pros and cons itself is so utterly clear there's not really much to pray about. You will go check with the Lord, but it's, the peace is ruling because this is how it is. That's just, well, there's nothing to talk about, Lord. But if it's not, you stay at zero when you check it, and you get over here in prayer and zero, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. You hold it before the Lord. Whatever you hold before God, the more, if it's of God, the longer you hold it before God, the more peace you'll have about it. Whatever's not of God, the less peace you'll have about it. Yeah. Very important. Any question? This is why we're praying about delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because your heart has been purified by delighting in the Lord. Then you ask what he wants you to ask, so he gives you what you ask, because you ask what he wanted you to ask, because you got purified going through the grid of delighting in him. All right? There's no quick and fast and easy answers to all your prayers, but there are principles. Any question? So, Dave and Leona, God bless you. And these things are happening. I know he's evaluating circumstances. He's come to zero. He's listed the pros and cons. He can talk to anyone he trusts about what's involved. If it's a new area, a new kind of a job, or related to, get you alone with God. And let the peace of God reign in both their hearts. Okay? Very important on faith and prayer. Now, I'm going to take this off. But this is what it's all about. This is praying about something. Many times you have to pray about something so that you can pray for something. I'm going to say that again. There are occasions you pray about something before you pray for something. Dwight L. Moody, who started the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, prayed for months about the burden in his heart to start a Bible school. And he spoke to his friends often and said, would you pray about this? I don't know if God wants me to start a Bible school or not. I think he does, but I'm not sure. Would you help me? Would you pray about this with me? Until he prayed about it, held it before the Lord until it crystallized. Yep, that's what I should start to do. I really should start to do that. But it is, listen, God does not hold as unbelief or disobedience what you hold for confirmation. Now, I want you to say it with me. God does not hold as unbelief or disobedience what you hold for confirmation. Clear enough. That's what Dave and Leona are doing. They've got the stuff out before God, and they're holding all these things before God, and it's not unbelief and it's not disobedience. They're holding it for confirmation because praying is a learning process. Don't think it's like you jump in the eighth grade and you just ace all the tests. We jump in the first grade and begin learning. So the life circumstances is the clinic for your prayer life. God does not hold as unbelief or disobedience what you hold for confirmation. Now, what happens when you don't have time to pray about something very long? You don't have a week. They call you and they want the answer tomorrow. I had a church call me a number of years ago, and they said, we'd like to have you come out and candidate this church this weekend, and or whatever it was. And a big church. They had a gardener, and this out in California, and they had a this and a that, and a that, whatever it was. And I told them, I said, I can't make a choice that fast. I'm not going to waste your time. I don't care how nice it is. If they want to, I forget, they gave me like 2 days. No, I don't move that fast. And I said, no, if you want a man to give you the answer that fast, I really couldn't tell you that. Now, if a guy just wants to jump a plane and go out there, God bless him. My approach, and it's just Elmer Murdoch, this is not how you do it. If someone wants me to become a candidate, and haven't had that problem for many years, this is kind of home here now. But when you're a younger pastor coming on through and God's blessing and people like his preaching, and some don't, of course, but it's, you know, God's kind. I began to pray. They wanted to become a candidate. I said, wait a minute, let me pray about it. And I could not get myself in the mode of just jump a plane and go, Lord, jump a plane and go, Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. For me, I said, let me pray about it and see if God even wants me to go candidate, because you go candidate and then your own church gets all upset because they think you're leaving. And you just got time to get them grounded and then say, oh, he said, well, it was a trip. No, he was candidate. Is he going to leave? I mean, you'd get everybody all turmoiled up. So you don't do that. I would pray, say, Lord, do you want me to go candidate? If you do, fine. If you don't, fine. And I turned down every, it's interesting, I'm trying to think. After I got filled with the Spirit, yeah, I never went to a church to candidate, but that they called me. And I said no to all the rest. I said, why should I waste your money, your time, my time? Let me find out if God even wants to go candidate. Now, if he does, I'll go. Doesn't mean they have to call me. Doesn't mean I have to accept it. But God was kind to me, and I guess I'm just a kind of a Scottish prayer. Let's save money here, Lord. Let's save time here, Lord. Let's save effort here, Lord. Why should I run around? Just, it would be nice to go take a trip. Oh, let me go to California. Woo, isn't that nice? My wife needs a break. Let's go. Hey, that's nice, but that won't fly. The plane will, but I won't. Uh-huh. What's God want me to do? And so I never thought that as a luxury. I thought that as a necessity for me. If I felt I should go and take a look, I'm on the next plane. If I'm looking around, I say, David, look at 25 places if you have to. And so I say, just you come to certainty the way God will meet you with certainty, but it's going to run through these principles, and they're okay. Any question, any additions? Anyone would like to add something? Yes, Lisa?
I have a question. Just now, you talk about the confirmation.
Yes. What do I mean by confirmation?
If you have peace.
Yeah. God does not count as unbelief or disobedience what I hold for confirmation. Mm-hmm. Lord, do you want me to go candidate of this church or not? I'm at zero. I'm ready to go. Check. Liberty. Peace. No, the peace does not reign in my heart. I don't go. Mm-hmm. Just like, put your hand up like this. Let me show you something. Put your hand up like this. I want you to push on my hand. Push. Don't get mad. Just push. I'm just kidding. Okay, now push again. Push. Push slowly, hard. Push.
You don't use your strength. You know.
No, I have a reason for doing that. I have a reason for doing that. Hold that for me. Thank you. Look, when you're at zero and you hold something before God, think of it as a swinging door, not a barroom door, a swinging door. And if God wants you to do it, when all things are done, you're at zero. If God wants you to do it, the more you press on it, the more it'll give. It will be peace and it'll give in. It'll give peace and it'll give in. Peace, it'll give in. Hold before God, I'm at zero and my mind settled down. Do you want this, Lord? And you're using the faculty of your spirit. You're not using your mind, because your mind is already, don't throw your brains away. You're that one on when you evaluated all your opportunities. That one on when you talk with your wise friends. That one on when you read what you had to in the subject. That one on if you read Wall Street Journal, read anything you want. I don't care, and read the Bible. But when that's all done, you've used your brain. Now you've got to go back and use your spirit. This is where development begins in your spirit. Do you realize your spirit is a faculty for knowing, seeing, feeling, understanding, being energized by God? It's as much a faculty as your bicep is. Only we don't develop our spirit so much. And I tell you, if you're in a church or background like I was, which didn't teach you the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to develop your spirit. You're going to develop your brains. You're going to develop elocution. You're going to develop your learning, and that's fine. But you're not developing your spirit. Grow in grace and truth and spirit. So your spirit does its workout, if you please and thank you, when you start making spiritual decisions that cause this kind of a thing. The gifts of the spirit work through your spirit. And God's Spirit works in your spirit. That's the spirit. The gifts of Spirit aren't in your bicep. When Samson is pulling over columns that hold up temples and ripping lions apart, it wasn't because he took a Charles Atlas course who went down to the club. He had a strength that came through his spirit into his body, and it was totally awesome because it was the power of God. When someone is healed by prayer, it isn't because this man all of a sudden got an instant degree from Harvard Medical. It's because the Spirit of God moved through his spirit to touch his spirit. So when you come to pray before God, you're using his spirit. And so you're saying, well, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to take this job? Do you want me to take this job? It's like a Polaroid film. Click. And then you look at the Polaroid, and it develops, and it develops, and it develops, and it develops. Oh, there's Granny. Oh, there's Bill. Look at me. Oh, isn't that funny? Or isn't that handsome? Or whatever. Isn't she beautiful? So if finally, and I'm saying, I made this is several days. I want separate periods over a period of time to come to this kind of assurance. Now, if I got a 50, he doesn't have a decision on whether he's going to wear that necktie or another necktie. He's deciding, do I uproot my family and go to D.C. or West Virginia or L.A. and new schools, new doctors, new homes, the whole schmear. So if the decision's that big, I want that big a piece about it. If I've got a decision that's this big about buying a car, then I want a little bit of piece about it. And I use my head, too, and talk to people, evaluate mileage, da-da-da-da-da. I don't pray much about that. I'd be praying, I need another car, Lord, bring the right one to me. Ah, that's it. Low mileage, the price is right. Joe did it, took care of it. Fine, thank you. I don't know if that's providential to me. Thank you, I got it. I don't pray much about that, but I use my head. But these kind of decisions, okay. Now, flip side. I hold that before God on separate occasions, right back to zero time. Lord, thank you. You're not playing games with me. You want me to know your will, and I do too. Is this what you want? Is this what you want? Peace at the prospect, peace at the prospect, peace at the prospect. Flip side, Lord, I think this is your peace, but I go to the flip side, which is I'm not going to go. I think you want me to go, I'm not going to go. And you'll find check, check, check. It's say, okay, Lord, I think this is your will. Now let me think, Lord, is this not your will? I bet this is not your will. And every time I get this is not your will, you get a check and a check and a check and check. Peace here. This is not your will. This is not check, check, check. It means, yeah, it is my will. That's why I'm checking you. You get liberty, and you get a check in your spirit, and it stays that way. And the longer I hold it before God, the more it stays that way, the more peace I have about going, and the less peace I have about staying. So the check and the positive is there. And I finally say, that's it, honey, we're going. Now, my wife and I would divide up, and I'd say, you pray about it, I'm praying about it. We would pray separately. We'll start together in prayer, say, now you pray separately, and I'll pray separately. We'll meet in a week, and we'll find out what each one's getting. Only once in our life did she have a different check than I, a different leading than I did. The rest, right on the money. And there was a reason for that, because some lady got to her when we were younger in our Christian life, and she was very important in our lives at that time, but she misread what God showed her in the Spirit, and Nancy thought it was a check as not to go, and I said, honey, I'm sorry, we're going to go anyway. If you want to stay in Chicago, we're going to Lincoln, Nebraska. And later on, we both knew why. But that's the only time out of about seven major decisions of choices of moving and leaving. Let the peace of God rule, arbitrate, referee, umpire in your heart. You're ready to go, you're ready to stay. You're at zero. It's not my comfort zone, it's not my home ground, it's not another. Regardless, I'm past all that, I'm listening here to God. And you can know that the peace of God can be in your heart. I need to know the mind of God before I start on any major project. And so do you. Your job's important to God. Your school is important to God. Your marriage is important to God. I mean, there's not many things that aren't important to God, but some are really major. Any question, any comment? Yes. Confirmation is peace that is done, Lisa.
Yes, confirmation is peace from God.
But yes.
Sometimes when I pray to a point and I say, God, I really don't know what to do. I have the peace, but in my mind, I want to do that. Can I have the confirmation from the environment?
Yes. For instance, suppose I pray, maybe I can't get any leading. Maybe you only got 2 days to pray about it or whatever. Or you can't seem to get an answer on it. I don't know what to do. I'm at zero. I have a willing heart. But I don't know which. In which case, if I have to make a decision on that basis and say, we've got to know by noon today, and I can't get any mind of God. I've had 2 days and I can't change that. It's okay. And I have to make it. It's inescapable. then I make the best decision I know of in the light of what I have. I'm going to trust God with my decision. See, the decision you're then making is made out of sincerity and obedience, not disobedience. So then we count on God to overrule and use my best chosen, sincere-hearted decision, neither right nor wrong. I do the best I know, commit it to God. I didn't have time to pray through, I didn't have time, or I couldn't get through. I then make the decision in the light of what I know of the Lord and circumstances and myself and my counsel at that time and trust it to God. Bigger decisions will normally give you the time you want. But any time I have to make a decision, I've got an hour to make it, and I say, wait a minute, Gene, what about? And I have to make it, I make it and trust it to God. That's what you'll have to do if you come against it. You can draw, yes, you may draw your peace from your circumstances. Finney, who was a great Christian evangelist, said, read your providences, read your circumstances. I just read one the other day, and I thought, I know what that means. And he used to say, he made a bold statement. Finney once said that there are occasions in your life when your providences, hold your breath, will have the same authority in leading your life as the Scriptures. Now, I don't know if I'm up to that. He was a great godly man, and he knew his providences. So that, well, Paul's trying to go preach the gospel in Bithynia. Spirit checks him down. He tries to go to Asia Minor. Spirit checks him down. Aren't there any unsaved people in those areas? Yeah. Don't they need the gospel? Yeah. And God's saying no. And they said, well, then they finally get a vision. And then the wind's blowing right. And then Paul says, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us there, not here. So we had a check in the spirit, vision, wind blows right, ship's on time, we're on the way, type of thing. Sometimes, however, it's just your circumstances. You're going to realize you've been praying about a job, and it opens up. Probably it. Praying about a visa. Should I go to America? I can't make it without a visa. And Lord, there are all my friends being turned down, but I get mine. Probably better go. Okay? Yes, your circumstances can be so pronounced. Say, this is the Lord. Any question? Yes.
May I ask a question about something you didn't talk about last time?
Sure. We're going to go back a chapter?
No. Yeah. You prayed for two people up there last time on
Yep. Health
things.
Yep.
And you asked for answered prayers, and they didn't respond, so I presume nothing happened to them.
I don't know. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I prayed for
my
two people.
Is, if my assumption's right, does that surprise you? And secondly, does that bother you?
Two things. When you go to pray for the sick, there's always, I pray for anybody who asks me to pray for. If there be, quote, a greatest healing, I don't have a big healing ministry. God may give me, gives me some healing ministry. But I would say healing of cancer is a big healing. And I had a man, well, you know him, John Larson. Have you seen him lately? He's been this as years. John Larson had 22 cancers in his chest right here. They gave him 2 weeks to live. They brought him up to Vets Hospital and said, that's what you got. Sent him back home. Went to visit him. I went and talked to him about the Lord. He was not saved. His wife got mad at me in the hospital because she called me back up to visit him. What do you come to the hospital for and visit my husband? Talk to him about God. He said, he's dying. And you got him all upset about dying. I thought, gee, Mark, you blew it. I really did. I thought, usually I'm nice with people, I can relate to them pretty well. Now I got them all mad at me. When the guy was dying, that's okay, I did okay. I don't care, she's mad. He goes home from the hospital. And I went over to see him. And told him about the Lord and how he ought to give his heart to Christ. And he listened and said, let's pray for you. I didn't even lay hands on him, I was from here to you across the room. I prayed, I felt nothing, sensed nothing, knew nothing, no visions, no revelation, no prophecy, no nothing. And he said, you know, they want to take one more look and give me one more treatment up there. I said, sure, what do you got to lose? Go ahead up. So they went up there, gave him one treatment, which was the equivalent of putting calamine lotion on a cancer, and it was totally gone. They thought they had discovered the cure for cancer. The guy across the aisle from him had the same thing, died in 2 days. They sent those x-rays to Hong Kong, London, Germany, wherever, because they said, this is what we did. The man was instantly healed. This must be the cure. He's still alive today, as far as I know. And he was there several years after I was there. Now, I sensed nothing. That surprised me, but it didn't. So when I pray for the sick, I pray for everybody and try to get God's mind as I pray for them. Sometimes he gives me leading, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes the Spirit of God, I was in a Catherine Kuhlman meeting once, the only time in my life I had a chance to see her. And it's a long story, I won't go into it. But I sat in the upper balcony, and the Spirit of God, I had a physical need, and the Spirit of God went through me, and through me, and through me, and no one even laid a hand on me, no one's even looking at me, I'm way out there, and she's way down there, and the Spirit of God went through me, till I wept like a child, and I did not know that I could take much more. In fact, I don't think I could have, I was full. And it still didn't touch my physical need. So it doesn't discourage me, because I know the mysteries of God. I can live with God's mysteries, yes.
It doesn't bother me. It
doesn't bother you. I prayed for your foot. I'm going to say you better now.
It doesn't bother me. No. Because I know God can heal me and he will heal me. Yes. I need to build up my faith in him.
Yes. Now, there are times, so I prayed for, I felt impressed I should pray for him. Did I pray for somebody else down here? Was someone with the, I know it was the collage with the lady with the, she had a big, who else did I pray for? I
prayed for Babe's ears.
Babe, for his hearing, yeah. Yeah. And sometimes when I feel an impression to pray for one person, if there's anointing there, I'm going to pray for somebody else if they ask for it. It does not discourage me. It teaches me. It keeps me humble, number one. Number two, I never know what God's going to do, so I do it anyway when they ask. Number three, God may give me leading in prayer while I'm praying, and that would be directive for my praying. Number four, I know that God is teaching me and teaching them. Number five, I've seen enough people healed to encourage me, and I thank God for that. So I'm still there. It doesn't discourage me, and there may be work that God's doing. They may need encouragement. I need to exercise faith. I was praying for a lady the night at the solo retreat. She had a migraine headache, and my hat's off to you ladies. How you take pain, I do not know. I would be in bed, out, gone. She had a migraine, and the Lord was kind of moving, and I said, let's pray. Lord, I want to take half this headache away right now. I prayed, is it any better? She said, yes. I said, how much better? 50%? She said, no. I said, how much? I said, about 25%. I couldn't get 50%. I prayed again, and all I got was 25%. Was I discouraged? No, because I am a learner. I don't have to prove anything. I'm learning how to trust God. I'm learning how to pray. I'm learning to be led of God. So don't you be discouraged. You are learners. Praying is a learning process. Praying for the sick is a learning process. There's mysteries involved. Catherine Kuhlman said, I don't know why God heals. There's an unsaved janitor walking around in the corridor outside the healing meeting. He gets healed and some missionary in the front row doesn't get healed. Now you figure that one. She says, I don't know. I've stopped trying to figure it out. So don't try to figure it out. I know general principles. I know that many people will be healed off your faith. Much better for them to heal off their own faith. Sometimes once a great while I find somebody come up to me. Excuse me. On a few occasions, especially on the line of being filled with the Spirit, I've had a few come to me, and they were being filled while they came to me. Their faith was just, I mean, I was riding their faith, just, God bless you, boom, you're there. I mean, it was effortless. Others come, and they're a little timid, and they hope, and you're this and that, and you're this and that. So faith and praying is a learning process. Now, the Spirit of God who's in you, the Scripture says, for we know not how we should pray as we ought to, but the Spirit of God in us helps us to pray without infirmities. That's why you're exercising your spirit again in prayer. And to become sensitive to God. Otherwise, I'm praying with my mind and the things I need to do and know. All right, any question? You've had a lot. One thing, if God is moving in a meeting in a certain way, then you want to follow that flow. How many were at the communion service 2 weeks ago? Anybody? Okay, several here. See, God started to move in a certain way. And he shifted that meeting twice. We started off, and God showed me about seven people to pray for. All right, I've learned now. I'm learning. I'm still learning. Pray for me. Then a man used to be in this class, Philippiatus, whatever his name is. The next shift the meeting was, the Lord was giving me direction. Okay, you. And I had some marvelous answers back. A person came to me this past week. They said, when you call that person up, that man, His wife and friend had been praying for 2 years about exactly what you prayed for him for. They just sat back there and bawled. That encourages me. I know I heard from God. I didn't know that. I just say, I take the first step of obedience. And then I find out later, here's this chapter behind it. All right. Another lady was there, and she was with a daughter who was not saved, and she's cantankerous, and she's a teenager, and we let people go at the right hour, and they can stay if they want. And she was shuffling. She said, do you want to go? Do you want to stay? She'd be good. And I said, all right, this one, come up here. And I prayed, and she just broke down and wept like a baby. And the very things God showed her to pray for was exactly what was going on in her life. And she had almost left the meeting, but that was it. So God took me through that. What happens during this, and I'm explaining to you some principles of God here now, at least as I see it. And when God starts to do that in a meeting, it starts to build faith. It builds faith in me. It builds faith. God is manifesting himself. Get your sails up. When the wind is blowing, get your sails up. It doesn't blow that way every day. It doesn't blow that way every day in my life. A lot of times I'm just getting on the bicycle and pump away at it. Up comes Philippides, he was just ahead of my leading. And he came up, and the next thing was, all those who have faith for something come up. I was in my mouth, I hadn't even said, he came up, he said, no, I didn't even call him. He just comes out and says, I want you to pray for me. I said, you bet, brother. Boom. And because he was right in the money, he said, now all those who have faith for something, I want you to come up here now. Be specific. What will you have me to do? Then we had a pile of those people come up. And just as we started going through that, Lord, there's going to be another shift of meetings. There's going to be another shift here. I want all those. And it was a third wave of this. Then the meeting closed down. Brought the elders up, said, we had a pile of people. Why don't you pray for them? Here's what's happening. So I went from, I'm just serving communion, not just serving, serving communion. And the Lord started speaking to me. I know what it means. I think Ben Short was the first guy up. God wanted me to pray for him. I'm going to pray for him, then this. Then faith for specifics, then faith for healing. Come on up. And the elders are there. It doesn't discourage me. I can ride a wave. I can't make the wave, but I can ride it. And I don't know all. For instance, I was in a meeting way back at the tabernacle. I just so new to me, Ben. Ben was an elder back in the tabernacle when I was there. And one of the meetings, I don't know if you're there or not, I was preaching along. God never done this to me before. You know, God introduces you to himself in different ways, and you're not used to it, so you're trying to think, hello, is that God? What do I do with it? I mean, what do I do? I was preaching along, and this church was not up to what we're doing. Anyway, we're doing now. All. And the Lord began to lay in my heart, heart trouble. And I thought, heart trouble? I knew, I was pretty sure it was the Lord. But I didn't know enough to say, if I had to do it again, I'd say, excuse me, the Lord wants to interrupt this message to do something. I want everyone in this room that has heart trouble, please stand because I want to pray for you. I think God wants to touch you. Now, suppose I had done that. I did pray for people with heart trouble later, but not quite that way. It should have been done better. Suppose 17 or 18 people stood with heart trouble. And I prayed for them. Would they have all been healed? Probably not. But God had someone or somebody in mind, and maybe some ones in mind, and I would have prayed and asked God to touch them and for God to heal. Because now here, whose prompting is it? Is this Murdoch's idea to stop his wonderful message and pray for people with heart problems and murmurs and all the rest? No, it's not my idea. So if you have God's idea, God blesses his ideas. God's ideas come pre-blessed, pre-empowered, pre-vindicated. I don't have to prove anything. I can't prove I can heal your heart. But if God puts it here, and I'm going along, and you know when the move of God happened about 3 years ago here? Before it broke loose, I want to tell you, I'm preaching along. Well, I tell you, no, it happened on a Sunday night. It was at a communion service. Oh, thank you, Lord, for communion services. Yes. All right. Unplanned, unsponsored, unlooked for, and God blew on us. It was a four-hour meeting. Now, remember, I'm not used to this. Not like that. Next Sunday morning, I'm trying to preach along, and I've got a sermon, because if God's moving, we really need a good sermon, don't we? Yeah. You better have a good sermon. So I'm preaching, and I am grinding. I'm grinding against the will of God. He's kind to me. I'm trying to preach this because God moved and we should preach. And God's trying to say, I don't need your preaching at this point. Please and thank you. Yeah, but I've been preaching 37 years. You don't say, you always preach. No, you don't always preach. This is what I'm laboring with. And so I finally cut my message down to about 18 to 20 minutes, which is the equivalent of a benediction for me. And start doing and praying for the faces, the people. The Lord showed me faces, and I'd say, I didn't know some of these people. Some I knew, some I didn't. And I was thinking, this is very difficult because I'm leaving for 15 minutes. It's the hardest sermon I've ever preached, and God's here. What's the matter? Finally, you know what finally comes through? I talk with Ray Mayo. Ray, what am I doing? I talk with John Huffman. I talk with Bert Holland. These guys know the Spirit, and I'm still trying to find my way, and they're trying to give me help. And finally, Ray says, as you know, Pastor, he's from Britain, from England. He said, you don't have to preach if God's moving like this. Well, that's profound. So next Sunday, I brought maybe 8 minutes, just enough to tell people the word and wait for God to move. But that's a strain on my, I'm not used to that. And God knew I had a willing heart, so he had to train me. He had to teach me over the weeks, and pretty soon I knew pretty well what to do. Now I know better even that what to do now. You have to learn. So no, it doesn't discourage me. Yes, there's some answers. And number three, I'm learning. And number four, I tell people keep looking to Jesus. Some healings are incremental. Some people have different levels of trust. And I'll close off with this. I found people coming up with a wish list. I say, when you want prayer, you come up. And God kept it right to me. Look, we've got 12 good elders here. If you got 400 people waiting for prayer, divided by 10, that's 40 people per elder. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to do that kind of division. But God would not let me do it. I could not hand it off. It was not an ego trip. So you do what God tells you. And that's where we are. And some people come with... I said, what do you want God to do for you? Some had a Christmas list, 12 people. I said, it won't fly. Because I want the top thing you have. That's where your request level is. Don't come with 12 things. You can pray about God to God about 12 things, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask you, what's the two, if you had to pray right now for something on your heart, what are the first two things? That's where your burden is. That's where your intercession is going to be. One or two things at the top. You can pray, oh, yes, be with my grandkids and this and this, and that's okay. But when you're going to pray, you're going to move right into the one or two things that are right up to the top. That's what's coming right now. He's not praying about whether he should buy a new Lexus or not. He's praying about, what job do you want me to have, Lord? It's right at the top of their intercession. What's the top of your intercession? Okay. Dear ones, let's close in prayer. We got a few minutes here. Lord, thank you for this class. Thank you for Dave and Leona. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing being wasted. This is a process of grace, truth, and mercy to take them from grace to grace, faith to faith, and glory to glory. We thank you, Father, you've not abandoned them or us, and for anybody else in this room who's making a decision or facing one, that you care vitally about them, and that if their heart is open, they love you sincerely. They're being led in the process that will conform them and mature them in the image of Christ. Thank you for the hard stuff, Lord. The things we don't know how to answer, the things we don't know how to decide on. It brings us back to total dependence on you again. It doesn't let us settle down. And I need to be reshaken, Lord, in my own spiritual life to keep on the front edge with you, Lord. So let none talk down their prayer life. May they realize the Father loves them. And as his son or daughter, all their praying is based on their great fatherly love in heaven. I pray, Lord, that none here will be laboring under confusion. We may not know what to do. Paul said we didn't know what to do. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. We didn't know what to do. We were pressed out of measure. We were cast down but not knocked out. And so, Father, there's some here today who feel that way. May they just rest in you and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know you're my Father. And I'm resting in you, clarify it through my circumstances or through prayer or a scripture or a friend. Clarify it, Lord. I'm trusting you and thanking you that all things work together for good to them that love God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.